Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Hallelujah. Got to save some of that shout. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 7 and verse 35. Amen. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, what shouts? What shouts? My soul shouts. Hallelujah. My soul shouts. John chapter 7 and verse 35. And then said the Jews among themselves, whither will thou go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among and unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and ye shall not find me, and where I am, thither I cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man, do you hear me? Do you hear this preacher today? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. But this he spake as of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. And many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of truth, this is the prophet. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. And verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, Be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. By the grace of God today, I want to preach not by chance. Not by chance. Amen. Not by chance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for the Spirit and the power and the unction of your Spirit today. We thank you for the Holy Ghost today. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God today. We thank you for the promises, Lord Jesus, of your divine and holy Word today. And so we come before the throne of heaven today, and we thank you, Lord God, that we stand here not by chance. And we give you glory. We honor your name. We exalt you, Lord God, for there's no one else to exalt or to praise. And so we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put up Isaiah chapter 28 and start from verse 5. I want to tell you something today, and I want you to hear me today. I want everyone to hear me today. And right now I'm going to rebuke the spirit of indifference. I'm going to rebuke the spirit of bondage in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because there's a word that's going to come from the Lord today that whether you have the Holy Ghost or you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need to hear. You need to hear. You need to take deep, deep thought of what God is trying to say to your spirit today. You need to take deep thought. I really am overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I realize, and I begin to realize more and more how limited the human substance of flesh is. I realize it more and more and more and more. Every day I realize how limited it is. And I believe that God wants you to understand that in the human makeup there are tremendous limitations. You know, Jesus was God in the flesh, and the Lord did not have the Adamic nature as man had. He didn't have the same Adamic nature. He was, in other words, his father was not Adam. Jesus' father was the Holy Ghost. And here is God in the flesh, walking in the midst of humanity. He was not only perfect in spirit, but he was also perfect in flesh. He was perfect in flesh. But yet, in the midst of human flesh, he claimed no deity. He claimed no deity because he was our greatest example of prayer. Because he showed us that there was no power in the flesh. He showed us that there was no power in the flesh. Even though his flesh was pure and sinless, he still did not have the power in the flesh to overcome the things that came against humanity. And that's why we see Jesus praying. The times that he went into the garden, he went up into the mountain, all the different times that he prayed, because what he did was he got involved in this tremendous phenomena, this spiritual phenomena that's called the Holy Ghost. In other words, you know, the Holy Ghost is not a pretty sight. When you see somebody getting the spirit, it's not always a pretty thing. It's not pretty. They be crying and snarling and all types of things you see people go through. Folks start dancing in rhythms and ways they can't really know to dance. It's all types of things. But what they're doing is that their spirit is going through this great and mighty phenomena. Because there's something that's taking place in the depth of their spirit that the flesh does not understand. And it causes the soul to move and to do things that it would not normally do. Because it's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. It's something that God has sent us to help us. To redeem us, to sanctify us, to bless us. I was thinking, I had so many scriptures that went through my mind in the preparation of this scripture, of this particular message. And then the Lord told me, he said, listen, look at some of the prophecies that I've given by through scripture. And of course I thought about Isaiah chapter 28, and it says in verse 5, it says, in that day shall the host be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to them that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Hallelujah. A strength to them that turn to battle to the gate. See, there were so many testimonies that verified what I was going to preach today. They turned the battle. In other words, I'm taking the battle and I'm turning it to the gate. Amen. I'm not going to sit back and just rest on my laurels and be defeated. But I'm going to turn the battle to the gate. And so here you are in the midst of the power of God's Spirit, and you take it and you turn the battle to the gate. He says, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink and are out of the way, and the priests and the prophets have erred through strong drink, and they have swallowed up wine, and they are out of the way through strong drink, and they err in vision and they stumble in judgment. That is the religious world that we live in today. That is the legalists or the liberals or whatever we want to call them in whatever area they come from. But they also err in through strong wine and through strong drink, and they're out of the way. They're not in line with the things of God. And then he says, for all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, and so that there is no place clean. That means that human flesh and the mind of human flesh is completely contaminated. There is not one place that's clean. I'm trying to get a mind thought. I'm trying to get you to understand of the power of the gift that God has given you. I'm trying to get you to think about what God wants to give you. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, this is the reason why you need the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to get something across to people, to let people understand that God means business about this salvation that he's talking about. Amen. This is not a religious phenomenon. This is not based on Catholicism, or based on the Muslim religion, or based on all religions just coming together. It has nothing to do with all religions coming together. It has something to do with the power of the Spirit of God. That's what God is trying to get through to who? Humanity. But if the church can't see it, how is the world going to be able to see it? If the church can't see where they need to be and what they need to do, how is the world going to see what they need to do? And it says, and then he goes on to verse 9. He says, whom shall I teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, and line upon line, and here a little and there a little. That means that God does not give you the full position of understanding all at one time. He gives it to you in different phases of your Christian walk. He gives it to you according to his divine will. Why? Because if he gave it to you all at once, your human spirit and your human mind and makeup could not digest it. You could not understand the things of God. And so he said, for with stammering lip and with another tongue shall he speak to what? Go ahead, y'all, say it. Shall he speak to who? These people. These people. A specific people. Not the people. God cannot speak to all of humanity. God cannot whisper to all of humanity, but he can speak to these people. So that designates a certain people, a certain people. It has nothing to do with our religious persuasion. It has nothing to do with what we think and what we feel about the things of God. And it goes on, and it says in verse 12, it says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet what? In other words, the people, he's given them a rest, and he's given them a refreshing. But yet, in the midst of their refreshing, and in the midst of their possibility of having a rest, they would not hear. God's trying to get the attention of the church today. God is really trying to get the attention of the church today. But no, we won't listen, because we're cluttered with other agendas, in other situations, in other circumstances. We're indifferent about the things of God, because the things of God are just designed to work according to his position. No, you got to take the will of God and you got to make it work, because God has empowered you to do it. You got to take the will of God. You say, it's the will of God for him to heal my body. Well, I got to take the will of God and make it work. It will work. But it won't work by chance. Nothing works by chance. I had an experience the other day, and everybody knows that on Friday I had to go for a doctor's appointment. I know some brothers that pray. Amen. And you know, a couple of weeks ago I was having some pretty serious problems there. My eyes were swelling. My face was puffy. My body was retaining water. Then all of a sudden, the church prayed and the symptoms changed. I went to the doctor. On Friday, I had an appointment with the doctor. I walked in. The doctor looked at me and asked me. He came out and shook my hand and said, how you doing, Mr. Gray? And I said, I'm doing good. He looked at me. We went into his office. We sat down. He opened up his computer, and he began to look. And of course, naturally, in my mind, I was expecting the worst scenario. I really was, because I remember the problems that I had 2 or 3 weeks ago. And how difficult it was for me to overcome them. And if it wasn't by prayer, seeking the face of God and the prayer of the saints, I probably would be engulfed in water today. The doctor looked at me and he said, Mr. Gregg, your results are better than they were when you first came 2 years ago. Hallelujah. I almost fell out of my seat when he said it. He said, look at this graft here. He showed me a graft, and he showed me the direction of my kidneys. He showed me when I first came to where I was at a place where he was telling me it was basically a land of no return. I should never have returned from that place. He said, we thought it was over. And he looked and he said, look, he said, I want you to see this graft. And he showed me the jagged edges of that graft, how it went all the way up to the top. And then it started to come down, and then it started to go back up, and then it started to come back. And then he says, it's directed straight down. And he says, the farther that it goes down, the greater healing is to your kidneys. And he says, your kidney function now is better than it was when you first came 2 years ago. And you know what he said? He says, there must be some type of luck. I almost fell out of my seat. and I almost told him, not by chance, because it's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And you know, he told me, he said, listen, we won't even talk about the other preliminary areas that we talked about before. We won't even talk about it. He was talking about dialysis. We don't even need to talk about it. That's God. That's the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Do you not believe that I went through a battle that I have never went through before in my mind, in my life? I went through a battle. I fought. My wife fought. My wife holds things better than I think she does, but I know her battlefield. She looks at me that everything's calm, but inside she's broken. And she's reaching and she's touching the Lord. And she, listen, my wife is praying now more than she ever prayed in her old Christian walk. You know why? Because things don't happen by chance. Things don't happen by chance. In other words, God gave you the Holy Ghost. What happens in your life is not happening by chance. This is not by luck situation. It's by the hand of God. And it's important that we understand that God is our Redeemer. He is our healer. He is our salvation. He does want to add to us. He does not want to subtract to us. But he has to take something away from us in order to take us where he wants us to go. Oh, no. But we don't understand sometimes. Sometimes we don't see what the Lord actually is trying to do in our lives. I had came to a place that I just told the Lord, well, I surrender whatever you want to come out of my life. I place it in your hands. I place it in your hands. And I place it in his hands. But then the Lord kind of whispered to me and said, yeah, you place it in my hands, but don't give up the battle. Keep on fighting the battle. Keep on going forward. Keep on doing what you're supposed to do. Keep seeking me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your spirit. Yes, it's a thorn in my side. But unless that thorn was in my side, I would not seek God that way. That's why he puts them there. That you'll seek him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. He will not destroy you. He will not let the world destroy you. He will not. But sometimes we don't get enough unction in our spirits to realize that if God be for us, who can be against us? The gates of hell cannot prevail. It cannot prevail. But you know what? You got to get it out of. Listen, this is not a mental thing. Do you understand? This is not something you can think through. You can't think it through. You cannot think it through. Don't worry about it, brother. It's only a jacket. Thank you. You can't think it through. You sitting there, you think that you got it through thought. You can reason it out. Stop reasoning and start praying. Reason will not do it. Reason not will not bring you the answer, because reason will only give you something by chance. It will only bring you something by chance. It will not give you the victory. You have to fight for the victory. You have to battle. And you have to put on your battle armor and step on in there. Amen. I said, devil, I don't care what you said. I don't care how broke down my body is and my mind is. You know, it was bothering me so much that I was actually, you know, when you start to lose kidney function, you also start to lose concentration. I noticed that my mind, I began to slur. I started to lose concentration. I was really working hard to try to get my concentration. And I was praying, I was saying, Lord, you know, my wife was looking at me like, this man ain't the same no more. And I was trying to explain to her, I'm not the same. But I'm not the same, not only because of my position of my kidneys failing, But I'm not the same because God is dealing with me. And God's trying to break me to make me the man of God that he wants me to be. Amen. See, we're afraid to be broken. We're afraid to deal with... Listen, let me tell you something. Let me put the reality of life out there. The world doesn't want to be broken either. But you know what? Folks are dying every day. Situations and circumstances are taking place in their lives every day. All you have to do is walk into the hospital. Go up in the hospital. Look at how many people are dependent upon men to save their lives. They're dependent upon men to save their... I'm not saying it's wrong to go to a doctor, but if I got my own position, I'm dependent upon this poor doctor to come up with some type of what's the name to give me that will help me. This doctor is not God. This doctor doesn't know me, nor does he feel my body or understand my body. He only knows what he sees on the screen. He only knows according to the symptoms that I give him. That's all he knows. And all he had to do, well, he says, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take these pills and go home and take them. You take the pills, you go home and you take them, and your whole body goes bananas. What in the world is this man has given me? And the first thing the mind says is that doctor didn't know what he was doing. It wasn't the fact that the doctor didn't know what he was doing. He knows according to percentage what works and what doesn't work. But he doesn't know necessarily what works on you until you come back in and say, listen, doc, I can't take these no more. Because something went wrong when I took these. All types of things happened when I took these. And then he'll snatch them and say, well, maybe we should give you something else. He's ashamed. But he has no reason to be ashamed because he's only human. See, I walked into my doctor and my doctor looked at me one time and he asked me the question. And he was really bewildered because I was at the very end of this beginning of this kidney thing. My kidneys was really failing. And he looked at me and my wife and he asked me a question. He said, well, what can I do? I said, well, let me tell you something. I put it like this. I said, the Lord sent me to you. It put him on the spot. I said, the Lord sent me to you. And he looked at me like, and I said, because God sent me to you, then whatever you give me, according to what you see at work. He looked at me. He couldn't believe I was saying that. I said, the Lord sent me to you. And I said, I said, it's not that I don't trust God, but what I'm doing is I'm being obedient to the Lord. See, there's a, you know, the Lord said, here's where you go. Okay. So I went on over there. Do I know? I know that God could heal. I know if God, you know what my prayer was? My prayer was, Lord, you created my kidneys, and so therefore, since you created them, you can make them work in the function that you designed them to work in. That's my prayer. But the Lord, you know, the Lord said, no, you ain't getting off that easy. You're not getting off that easy because you have a job to do. And because you have that job to do, I've got to take you through this period. Now, you know, the thing is about when you're dealing with the Lord's situation is like this. There is no A, B, or C. This pass or fail. You know, sometimes the Lord can put you in a position, and I want you to hear me, where if you don't pass it, you might lose your life. You might lose your life. And I'm not saying you lose your salvation, but you might lose your life. So it comes to a place where you say, well, you know what? I'm going to fight this fight. And so the Lord had already gave me enough incentive around me to continue the battle. Because every time I looked at my kids, I thought, oh, Lord, I got to do something. Huh? Every time I looked at my kids, I thought, I'm driven to my knees to pray. Amen. It wasn't about me anymore. It was about I was seeing my kids being raised up in this world without me. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what's going to happen. Amen. So I went to my knees. Now let me ask you a question. The battle is not over. The battle continues. The battle's not over. But the signs of the battle is this: that I am winning the victory. The battle's not over. I haven't conceded and say, well, you know, everything's all right. No, everything is wonderful and it is great by the hand of God. But if you think that you're not supposed to go through anything, well, I'm sorry, I can't say that. I'm talking to the wrong church. You know why I'm talking to the wrong church? Because there's not one family in here that's not going through anything. If you're not going through anything, then you know what? You don't realize the danger that you're in. There's not one family in here or one individual that is not challenged by something. Or no, I shouldn't say by something. Several things. Several things. And as soon as something, listen, I tell you what, as soon as something starts working, something else happens. Sometimes it's the enemy, and sometimes it's just life within itself. Am I right? But it's not by chance. The Lord did not give me the Holy Ghost by chance. He did not expect me to turn out to be some religious individual that depended upon religion. He expected me to become an individual that depended upon him. Why am I preaching? I'm preaching about the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching about the importance of having the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're living a life by chance. If you don't utilize the Holy Ghost, you're living a life by chance. You're taking chances. It's all by chance. But if you utilize the Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Ghost, then all you have to do is take the power of God and make it work. In other words, the Lord said, greater things shall you do. Now everybody wonders, how could anybody do greater miracles than what the Lord has done? That's a good question, right, Paige? You ever ask that question yourself? How could anybody do a greater miracle than what the Lord did when he called Lazarus from the grave? I'll be honest with you, I think that's the most tremendous miracle in the Bible. I really do. Because the Lord said, I am the resurrection, right? And he said, Lazarus, come forth. That means when Lazarus came forth, that his very soul and spirit that had went to Hades or to hell had to actually be released. It had to be released. In other words, the devil said, man, you got to go. I can't hold you no more. Because the resurrection said, you got to get out of here. That means that his spirit. See, sometimes we only see the flesh. No, his spirit was resurrected out of Hades, taken out of Hades, and it was placed back into his body, and Lazarus came out, and the Lord said, unwrap him and set him free. And then later on, we're going to go down and we're going to have a steak together, because they ate together. In other words, give him some food, because I'm going to show you that a dead man don't want anything to eat. And you know what it was? He wasn't resurrected and then went back. He resurrected and he lived for a while. That's one of the greatest miracles I ever, when I look at it in the realm of the spirit, I thought, my goodness, look at the potency of this miracle that the Lord has performed. I mean, that should, you know, if the people that were there would have realized the spiritual depth of that miracle, they wouldn't even have crucified him. They wouldn't even have crucified him. See, why do we understand that? Because we have the Holy Ghost. Because we see the spiritual insight of what God has done in the realm of the spirit. Now, What do you mean by greater things can we do? Who could do a greater miracle than what God has already done? Well, what he meant by greater things you should do is because Jesus was referring to as him being a lone ranger performing miracles. And then he talked about all those that were filled with the Spirit. Greater things can you do? The numbers. Hallelujah. The numbers. You know what? You are going through what you're going through today because God is trying to cultivate his Spirit in your life. He doesn't want you to be a human entity. He wants you to become a spiritual entity. Spiritual entities don't look good in this life. Spiritual entities are not dignified. Spiritual entities say weird things, strange things that people don't understand. You know why? Because they have an insight of a realm that the human position cannot see. In other words, and it doesn't only look into the spiritual position of the heavenly, it also can discern the spiritual position of the underworld, of darkness, and tell you what's of God and what's not of God. Amen. Not only because of reading of Scripture, but also because of the fact is, Brother Cam, when an unrighteous spirit, an ungodly spirit comes against you, you can feel it. You say, ooh, man. They ain't a, ooh. Woo! I can feel it. That ain't the Holy Ghost. Now, I might not say that to them, but I define it. That's not the Spirit of God. In fact, that's not even a human spirit. You don't do that by chance. You don't do that by chance. That's not by chance. This is not a luck situation that we live in. I hate to hear that word, luck. Luck is the word that you refer to darkness. Luck. If you're lucky, nah, I ain't lucky. Don't even bring me that word, lucky. I don't even write. You know, if you, oh, good luck. Good. I don't want good luck. I want good God. Hey, hallelujah. Because luck is a possibility, a very slim possibility. And it's built on a gamble in a spiritual realm that you don't want to gamble in. That's right. That's right. That's like a brother say, well, you know, I just happened to be on the internet and this thing popped up and I just got involved with it and I won $15,000. Oh, you did, huh? And now I'm going to take this money and I'm going to give it to the Lord. No, you ain't give that money to the Lord. That ain't the Lord's money. That's the underworld's money. You need to give it to the underworld. That's right. Because you know what? That's the type of thinking that the devil wants us to have. He wants us to be split between two worlds. That's right. He wants us to be split between two worlds. Split between two worlds. Because if he can get your mind split between two worlds, he knows that he can bring confusion whenever he wants to. That's right. And one of the worst things in the world, I'm telling you, listen, saints, I'm telling you, one of the worst things I ever experienced in my Christian walk is to see people of God in a state of spiritual confusion that have the Holy Ghost. It's one thing to not know I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't say that I know what tomorrow will bring because I don't know what tomorrow will bring. But I got enough Holy Ghost to trust God that he's going to work it out. How do I have that? How do you build that up, y'all? Through experiences. This is, you know, people talk about blind faith. What's blind faith? I don't see anywhere in the Bible talking about blind faith. What's blind faith? Faith has sight. It has the ability to see. Nothing blind about faith. blind faith. People say, well, you know, you're just going to blindly. No, no, no. I don't have, you just blindly trust God? No, I don't blindly trust God. I don't blindly trust God. I trust God. I trust God because, let's face it, I've been through a lot of relationships, through a lot of situations, and after 27 years or 26 years, man, he is the only one that has been consistent. Day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. Did I feel good all them days? No, I didn't feel good all them days. Hey, but God brought me to another day that I did feel good. Amen. Day in, day out, he was always saying. It is true what the scripture said. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He cannot change. So it cannot be by chance anything that he does in your life. God cannot change. But you know what? If you do not get this understanding and thinking in your spirit, you'll lose out with God. If you don't have the Holy Ghost and you need the Holy Ghost, when I finish this, what's the name? You need to hit this off. Because you're missing out. You are really missing out. If you're trying to do this on your own strength, in your own time, in your own way, man, your time is running out, and running out fast. I'm telling you, your time is running out, and it's running out fast. Very fast. And the Lord knows it. Your time's running out. If you expect, now listen, let me tell you something. Some people remain their position in the flesh. So when everything goes wrong, they can curse God. And say, well, it didn't work anyway. God always works. It's never a time that the Lord doesn't work. But you know what? The Bible tells us that we need to be laborers with him. That means that we have work to do. We have things that we have to cultivate. We are laborers with him. To work is not easy. Sometimes it's hard. But I tell you what, I find one thing is true. To work for God is a lot easier than trying to work myself through the situation of this life. A lot easier. If you're waiting on human things to get things done in your life, you're wasting your time. Do you hear me? You're wasting your time. Because I'm telling you what, time works against the human flesh. See, God is, the beautiful thing about it is, you know, God can let the time run out and come back and just redeem everything. Isn't that amazing? God can come, listen, God has taken my life and many lives in here. And when you passed a certain time in your life, you thought, well, that's it. I'll never be able to accomplish that again. As soon as you ran into the Holy Ghost reached back, brought all your dreams and all that you had that was worth anything and said, shoo. And not only did he bring it back to your thinking, but he actually manifested it in your life. In other words, it started working. It started happening. What happened? You thought sin had destroyed it. And sin had destroyed it. Because if you had remained in sin, not only would it have destroyed your dreams, it would have also destroyed you. But all of a sudden, you get the Holy Ghost. Repent of your sins and be baptized in Jesus' name. And the Lord reaches back. Suddenly, brings it all back. Because he's not subject to time. Time is a tool in God's hands. He's not subject by it, so he can bring all that back. The Bible talks about how he redeems the time. In other words, his blood can reach back and buy all that time back. Don't walk continually without the things of God. Because I'm telling you, you will get nowhere. It's something in my spirit. The Lord's talking to somebody in here. Don't walk continually without the things of God, because you will not go anywhere. Your religious aspect and your religious approach will not get you where you think it's going to get you. God will not honor it. You know why God will not honor it? Because the Bible tells us if we don't have the Spirit of God, we are none of His. That's what it tells me in Romans chapter 8. God does not honor you according to your righteousness. He will never honor your righteousness. Come on, y'all. Understand that. He's not honoring any. He's not healing my body because I'm righteous. He's healing my body because I trust Him. And He's empowered me to have the ability to trust Him. He's not healing my body because I'm worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm thankful. But I'm not worthy. So if you think you've got to be worthy, you got the wrong concept. Ain't nobody worthy. Amen. And let me tell you something. If you don't think that you have, if you don't think that, don't think because you don't do anything or you don't express anything that God has to do it for you. God does not have to do anything for you. The Bible says that we have to make our, we have to bring forth our requests. The fervent righteous prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer. Amen. Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer means I mean business. Fervent prayer means that I'm scared to death. Fervent prayer tells God that I know I don't have the ability to surpass the situation or circumstance that faces me. Fervent prayer. Am I right? That I'm expressing to God. Oh, my goodness. The flesh doesn't have the ability to receive that. You know why the flesh doesn't have that ability to receive it? Because many times the flesh will eat false doctrine before it embraces the true doctrine. Jesus said in John chapter 7, I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear me closely. Because I want everybody not only to be victorious, but I want them to have a means of victory. Jesus said, now notice, it says in verse 37, in the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. The flesh has a way of not being thirsty. But he didn't say, let every man come to me. He says, if any man have a thirst, let him come unto me. And he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, not as the scriptures have said. Now I want you to hear me. You will not receive and feel the excitement that I have if your soul is not filled up. You won't do it. How come we know that? Because we see that in Acts chapter 2. They say, well, what's wrong with these men? These boys been out drinking wine all night. And the man said, well, no, they ain't drinking new wine. They ain't drinking the wine you think they drink. But this is that. In other words, this is that substance that was promised. His promise. See, a lot of folks trying to be religious and do a lot of things, and you can't do anything without the Holy Ghost. Listen, you can't do anything without the Holy Ghost. You will not do anything. You will not go one place without the Holy Ghost. God's trying to get that across to humanity. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need that experience of the Holy Ghost. You need the power, empowerment of the Holy Ghost. You need it. And it's not for some people. It's for everyone. The scriptures are not for some people. It's for everyone. It don't have cap. It's simple, y'all. It's very simple. Listen, don't get mad at me if I'm trying to get a hold of your heart. Don't you get mad at me. It's the love of God that's trying to get a hold of your heart. It's the love of God that's trying to change you and turn you around. It's the love of God that's trying to minister to you. Because you know what? In the flesh, I really wouldn't care. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If it was in the flesh, I'd be asleep somewhere. I mean, now this lady, I'll be just getting up to have breakfast. I'm being honest, though. That's how much the flesh cares. But the love of God says, listen, reach my people. Help them. Take them to places that they can't get to in themselves. But before I can get you there, he has to take me there. So nothing comes by chance, y'all. You will not win victory by chance. You will not overcome the systems of this world by chance. You will not overcome your health situation by chance. You will not overcome your financial condition by chance. It will not be there by chance. And here's what you don't understand. If you claim yourself to be a child of God, it really won't be by chance. Because the devil will do everything in his mind to block you and destroy you. And this is why you got to pray. And this is why you got to fight. Because the devil's doing everything to block you, to destroy you. He knows what you represent. So don't say, well, you know, I just believe in Jesus' name. And, you know, and the Lord's going, no, you better get on your knees and start praying. Because as soon as you say you believe in Jesus' name, baptism, and filled with the Holy Ghost, the devil says, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. Amen. That's the enemy. But when you say, oh, well, you know, well, and as soon as you try to say, well, you know, maybe I don't believe that, he's going to attack you anyway. He's going to attack you. He's going to try to take you down. He's going to take, I'm telling you. Do you realize that? You say, well, you know, I believe there's some people in here that's trying to win a soul. Am I right? Or we're trying to win a family or whatever. Wonder why can't we get that family? Because every time you get close to that family, he attacks that family. He attacks that family. Where you going? Don't you go with them. You may end up like them. Amen. He won't tell them that directly, but he'll allow things to come in their life to hinder them from getting where they need to get. He won't tell them that directly. He never will. See, here's what the thing is. Here's the thing, y'all. We stand in the midst of a spiritual battle. I'm going to close with this. We stand in the midst of a spiritual battle. Not just the church, but all humanity. Stands in the midst of a spiritual battle. We are the least powerful. That's right. don't care who you think you are or what your name is. No man is more powerful than Satan. No man is more powerful than Satan. If Satan's presence came in this room right now, I'm telling you what, half of y'all's hair would stand up on the back of you. I'm telling you, I have felt the power. I don't know if it was Satan, but it might have been a prince or whatever. But I tell you what, if you ever feel the power of darkness, you will know that your flesh is powerless against it. Amen. If the devil ever come to your house, and I know the devil been to my house a few times. Amen. He show up. Because why? He tried to penetrate through fear. He tried to penetrate through fear. If he don't show up, then you ain't doing something right. I'm telling you the truth. If he don't show up, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Because I want him to show up. Come on up in here. Step up in here. I got something for you. It's the blood of Jesus. Come on, man. Step on in here. Amen. Because why? That authenticates your power. That authenticates your... You know what authenticates your power? Is when the devil comes in, he stirs everybody in the house, and you get yourself together and politely throw him out. Here's the door. Step on out. And the devil said, well, I got to leave. I got to leave. That is a tremendous spiritual experience to put him out. That's right. He got to go. Oh, no. It's all by chance. Okay. Okay. When you lose the house and the farm, you tell me it's by chance. When you lose your health or whatever, you tell me it's by chance. You tell me it's by chance. I'm not giving the devil anything. Simple. I ain't giving him nothing. Nothing. I ain't giving him an inch. Amen. I ain't giving him anything. God has given me the Holy Ghost. And he didn't give it to me by chance. I have the power of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to exercise this power that God has given me. Yeah. I'm going to do it. Yeah. You got to do it. Your life and your family's life depend upon it. You've got to feel an urgency. You've got to feel the need. You've got to feel the pulling of what God's trying to do to get you where you need to get, that you can fight the battle and have the victory. Got to fight. I ain't giving him nothing. And he ain't taking my life because I ain't going nowhere. Praise God. You got to make that up in your mind. You got to build up with your spirit. You got to take the will of God and you got to make it work. Devil say, well, you know, things running down. It looks like things ain't going to go your way. Time will just run out. No, time ain't going to run out because God's going to provide what I need. He will because he's God. The more he does in my life, the less shame I get. The more bold I become. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Oh, Jesus. Not by chance. Hallelujah. I'm not saying if you ain't going through nothing, create something. I'm not saying that. But if you ain't going through something, it's only because you're not doing something that you need to be doing. Or you're insensitive to the problems of your own situation around you. And that's even more dangerous. it's even more dangerous to be insensitive to the problems around you. It's very insensitive. Because what will happen is the devil will allow that door to close right on your situation. He surely will. Because you know why? You know what he's saying? He or she, they ain't going to fight. I can do what I want. They ain't going to fight. Well, you know what? I come out of the streets of Philadelphia. And you know what? I did not have any brothers. I had a sister that was a year older than me. I learned one thing. I had to fight. And if I didn't fight, I ran. But I ran that day to fight another day. That's right. Oh, I grew up quick on them streets. I learned a whole lot. And I think, don't get me wrong, I don't think I'm living because I fought. I think I'm living because I ran. Because my mother told me one day, my mother said, listen, here's my mother's very words. She said, listen, fool. She said, a good run is better than a bad stand. I said, you know, this woman know what she's talking about. And so every time I went out in the streets and a situation came down, I cut out. I sure did. But I had to cut out because a couple of times my friends had left me in a bad situation and I almost got killed. But I thought, not no more. Because when they say, and here they come, I'm already gone. Amen. So in the flesh, I learned how to live another day. But now in the spiritual realm, when the devil shows up, the flesh says, you need to take off. And the Lord said, you better not. You better not take off. Because if you take off, he's going to consume everything that you have. He's going to tear your household apart. He's going to have you in the divorce court. That's right. He's going to have you in the divorce court. Listen, do you realize, now I'm going to tell you something before I close. Do you realize why, do you understand now why there's so many divorces in the church? You know why there's so many divorces in the church? Because people that were in the church, I'm not talking about broken situations that were there. I'm talking about people that were living for God faithfully together, that end up in divorce. Sad situation. You know why? Because they weren't willing to fight together. And so one was willing to fight, the other wasn't. And you know how you can tell? Because if you go back and you see the people who are divorced, you'll find that one's in the church and one's gone. That's right. But now, there's not one marriage that doesn't go through hard times. And when I say hard times, there's not one marriage that doesn't go through a long time of hard times. Am I right? And every time you get a breath of fresh air, the devil steps up and says, okay. Or something steps up and tries to bring that division. And so what you start doing, I know me and my wife have been battling. Hey, we thought the battle was each other. Amen. She look at me, I look at her. Oh, my Lord. Pray for that woman. And she said, pray for that man. Hallelujah. How could that man be a pastor, be like he is, if everybody knew how he was? Hallelujah. Amen. It's all right. I can live with that. I can live with that. I don't have any grudge against that. That means that when she feels that way, that means that there's a position I got to step farther up to the plate. I don't mind the challenge because I know how to fight. I'm not afraid of it. Amen. I'm not afraid of the criticism. I'm not afraid of the criticism. Because constructive criticism is good for you. Amen. Especially when it comes from your wife. Amen. Because you got to live with her. So you better step into that plate, get that bat up to your hand, and it don't matter whether you're striking out. She just wants you to keep swinging. Amen. That's all she wants you to do is keep swinging, man. Just keep swinging. Just keep swinging. Just keep swinging. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And she'll be behind you to catch all the balls that you miss. And we miss more than we hit. But I thank God that she's behind me catching them and not the one throwing them at me. Amen. The altar's open. Come on, y'all.